This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Noah's put a lot of work in through the years, a lot of time, a lot of sacrifices on his part. And I think, you know, this is his dream to be pitching at the major league level. And double play. Sorry.
Noah, I'm applauding too.
And it's been his dream to get here. So I'm very happy for him and proud of him, the work he's put in.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We are delighted to welcome in Brooke Fletcher. She's in Arizona for CHSN covering the Chicago White Sox. And she was on the air with Larry, right? Larry Schultz. And he broke into some play-by-play.
Yeah, Brooke. He did play-by-play of his son making his debut for the Sox.
Getting that
summer.
Double play. That was pretty good stuff. Cool. Brooke, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well here at the facility, and it's beautiful weather here in Arizona.
How did you just happen to be interviewing Larry Schultz when Noah Schultz got his first ground ball double play? Nice timing.
Honestly, I'm so surprised that he agreed to do the interview, because I know how nervous parents get, especially as they're making, a guy like Noah making his Cactus League debut. But yeah, usually, Noah told me when I talked to him in the clubhouse that morning, he goes, yeah, my dad's a pacer, by the way. You know, he has his Apple Watch and his heart rate gets so high because, that's how nervous he gets. And so I was like, are you sure you're good to do this interview? He's like, yeah, it's fine. But, his grandparents were there. His dad couldn't have been nicer. And I know you could just tell how proud he was just seeing Noah, follow his dreams there.
Well, I think a lot of us were really interested in seeing Noah. We haven't seen enough of him. He's a young lad, 21 years old, obviously. Well, he's the top prospect they have, I believe, in baseball. And both those guys got in, both of the left-handed pitchers, him and Hagen Smith. He said that they had a real easy friendship. He said the two of them, they're the same age, right? And that they, I think he said he has sisters and no brother, and he's met his, a guy that he considers close enough as a brother.
Yeah, well, they actually, Noah told me that he had been here all off season, and Hagen got here 3 weeks before pitchers and catchers actually reported. So, they had plenty of time to bond. They're still a little soft-spoken, right, because they're still new to the media training and everything. And so when I was asking about the relationship, he didn't say much. But, Noah said that, this was a great time for them to bond. They, are in similar situations, as far as just everybody looking at them to be the future of this pitching staff with the White Sox. And so I think they really had a lot to in common and just a lot to bond with. But, these two for sure, walking around the facility, these guys are hand-in-hand. They're throwing partners. And so it's pretty cool just to witness them just kind of go through this together. And I'm sure, this is the start of a beautiful friendship between these two.
Casablanca.
So, Brooke, you were out there yesterday. Sox get their first win, but the news wasn't all good. Andrew Benintendi, broken hand, it looks like, 4 to 6 weeks out. He got hit by a pitch. And that's just unfortunate for a guy who had a strong second half. And I know he's been a disappointment as a free agent, but he was a guy the Sox were counting on. You were there yesterday. What do they do now, and how difficult was that for them to take?
Yeah, so, you know, he immediately, when he got hit on the hand, he came back to the dugout and he took his batting glove off, and you could just tell he was uncomfortable is probably the best way to describe it there. But, you know, he's been very upfront about how he's looking. He understands his role and how he wants to prove himself this season amongst a lot of other guys on this team here. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a big hit. They were able to still get the win without him yesterday. But, you know, I think having Michael Taylor, I think Austin Slater, and just having some depth there alongside Tauchman and obviously Luis Robert Jr. Out in that outfield, I think they're okay. But, you know, this is your mainstay, right? This is a guy that's supposed to be a leader in this clubhouse and everybody's supposed to look up to. You know, the fact that he doesn't have to have surgery, I guess, is in that it's happening early in camp. You know, he still could be ready somewhat in the beginning of the season, depending on how his recovery goes. I guess that's a bright spot if you can try to take a positive away from it, but still not what you want to hear when it comes to your mainstay and a guy like Andrew Benintendi.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, it is a thin roster, but if you're going to have an injury, I believe they had five MLB players under contract in the outfield, so you feel like maybe they can cover that spot, but you know, they're razor thin, and we know they haven't spent a ton of money. And they're going to be relying on young players, especially moving forward and especially among the pitching staff. So great to see young pitchers that are going to matter eventually. I think a lot of Sox fans just kind of want to hit the fast forward button.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, I think we saw a glimpse, you know, Noah and Hagen, obviously, a lot of people are excited about them. Grant Taylor has, you know, he had a great outing showing that he can get his velocity up. It was funny. He actually didn't even realize he was throwing that fat or that throwing that hard. But, you know, talking to Ethan Katz, you know, there's a lot of encouragement around, you know, you got Bryce Wilson, you got Sean Burke. Talking about Sean Burke, this is a guy that was looking for an opportunity last season, and he was able to capitalize. It was a short stint in the bigs. But even, you know, talking about him, he just kind of lights up. And you got Jonathan Cannon, Davis Martin, yep, had a really great outing the other day out in Colorado. And, you know, now they're trying to figure out who's going to be the starter on opening day. They're, you know, we're seeing a mixture of things and makeshift. And so they're trying to figure out who's going to be those five guys. But, you know, we talked about Martin Perez. Having a veteran presence in the starting rotation is huge, especially when you have a young staff. Martin, I know you guys have heard about his reputation in the big leagues. And he's just great to work with. So positive, and he's just really encouraged by what he's seeing from this young staff. Now it's just a matter of them believing and putting these guys together.
So, Brooke, you've been out there for about a week, and it's obvious you are in your element doing these Sox games. And I just wonder, as you get to know Will Venable, the new manager, a little bit better, how would you describe his impact on this young team and just his approach day-to-day as a new manager?
I think communication and being able to be approachable to this clubhouse has been huge for him, and it's at the forefront. When he walks into a room, David, you know, he just has this natural command, right? And just this presence where people just gravitate towards. And what I love about him, just witnessing him around the facility, he has his hands in everything, but he's not showy about it. You know, he's going around, he's getting a feel for the guys and what he has, but he's not making it about himself. I still think he's trying to find himself, you know, as a manager, and that's going to come with time and, you know, talking to the media. But a lot of guys just, you know, they just love the way he communicates. Corey Lee called him and Walker McKibben, their bench coach, like the two professors. You can tell the wheels are always turning when you're talking to them, and they're just trying to really teach these guys and get them to understand their roles and what value they bring. But, you know, again, just trying to find his identity as a manager, it's going to take time, but he's very approachable, and he's getting there.
Brooke, we're very interested in all things Colson Montgomery, and not just because David can relate to him as an Indiana schoolboy legend, but that's part of it. I'm curious, you know, he had back spasms and he couldn't play, or he was a late scratch with the back spasms. How big a concern is that? Is that just a minor thing that popped up? You always worry about taller dudes, you know, and just their back issues. And I mean, he's a very highly rated prospect and a guy we've been waiting on for a number of years.
Yeah, you know, we were kind of surprised, and when we heard about that, it was about 45 minutes before the game started, and we got note, you know, that he was going to be scratched. They said it's day to day, but you know, he had followed up with him saying he was at batting practice yesterday morning, and he kind of felt something. You know, he tweaked it a little bit, so he just wants to, you know, be on the side of err on the side of caution. But yeah, you have to be careful, especially out here in Arizona where it's so dry. I mean, I'm kind of getting a taste of it just being here for a week. Can't imagine these guys. You got to stay hydrated because, I mean, it gets hot out here. So, and a guy for his size as well, and because of everybody is looking at him, you want to make sure you're not pushing him too hard. And but they told us that it's no concern there. But it was funny yesterday. Yes, it was his birthday. He was turning 23, so he was so excited to play in the game. He goes, "My favorite player is Michael Jordan." He's like, "It's my Jordan year." So hopefully, this is foreshadowing, especially in the Chicago sports market, that I'm going to have a good year. I'm like, we're manifesting it for you. So I'm sure he was bummed that he couldn't play yesterday.
Talking with Brooke Fletcher from CHSN. She's out in Arizona covering the White Sox at Camelback Ranch. So you had a sit down, I believe, with Chase Meidroth. You've talked to a lot of these young guys who are fighting for spots and starting jobs. And we don't really know a lot of these guys. They could probably show up and you'd have to be introducing, wear name tags, please, because we can't remember your names. How are they all coming together, Brooke? And how is that, does that maybe infusion of youth and maybe anonymity create this level of competition that you're looking for?
Well, I think it's like the perfect recipe, to be completely honest. You got a new manager, new coaching staff, new leadership there, and you have a group of young guys that are hungry, right? Ready to prove themselves, I think. And then you also have a group of veterans that I feel like have been in the league for a while, but they're kind of looking to have some resurgence when it comes to their career. So I think it's just a perfect combination when you're looking for an organization that's trying to find their identity right now, and they're trying to all kind of prove themselves and why they belong. And so, but I love, you know, going into the clubhouse, I mean, everybody has been so kind, so willing to talk and just open about their stories. You know, Kyle Teal has been a fun personality that I think Sox fans are going to really appreciate once he gets to the bigs. He's been fun, and you know, just these young guys.
And he really humiliated Roki. He turned Roki into an afterthought.
Well, what's so funny is I was there, you know, and he hit, you know, the homer off of him. He said he took the fastball because they didn't have a scouting report on him. So what's funny is he didn't even know Roki was going to be throwing BP. He's like, "Yeah, I just kind of showed up. I knew we were going to like hit off some Dodgers pitchers, but when I saw Roki, I was kind of like, oh crap, okay." So, you know, he goes up and he saw the fastball and he crushed it. But guys, when he walked off, you could tell he was sticking his chest out a little bit. He was feeling himself. I'm like, okay, Kyle. But yeah, you know, he's a fun guy. He's an interesting dude, but that can definitely do a lot for your confidence. But it's a good group of guys, and I'm excited for White Sox fans to get to know them once they all start kind of making their way to the bigs.
They're trying to stay positive because they have to stay positive. Right. They have to feel like it can't get any worse because last year was historically bad. And I think you see that reflected in, you know, the veteran like Martin Perez. He comes in, he says what he said. He says the Sox could be contenders. I don't know that anybody else believes him, but I think that's the attitude you want for him to take, maybe. What have been your impressions of him, and is he a guy that you think is a candidate to start opening day?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question on if he's going to start opening day. You know, because of his experience, you can lean towards that, right? But, I mean, they've been super impressed with Davis Martin, Jonathan Cannon as well. Yeah. But there's a reason why he's been in the bigs for as long as he has been. Obviously for his talent, but just what he brings to a clubhouse. And I think a lot of people forget like how important that is, especially to have camaraderie when you're trying to build World Series caliber teams. And, you know, when you have a young pitching staff, it's great to have a guy like that. And I know some people are like, okay, Martin, like you're a little delusional there, you know, when you're talking about being a contender, but it's better to have somebody that's positive and speak good things into existence rather than being negative, right? I mean, it's so early. We're at spring training. You don't want somebody going around and be like, yeah, we're going to suck this year, right? Or like, nah, we're not going to do anything this year. So I think you have to have some guy that, you know, has experience that can can be a mentor to these young guys and show them what it's like to be in the bigs and just to be positive and just to create that atmosphere that you want when you're trying to establish an organization and establish some direction.
Brooke, quickly back to Kyle Teal, because I can't get enough of that story. I think it was the highlight of of camp thus far. It's my understanding, you know, there's a whole media contingent from Japan that is following the Dodgers and obviously interested in Roki, and they interviewed Kyle Teal, like, how did you hit the unhittable pitcher? And he apparently, it might be bigger news in Japan than in Chicago.
It might be.
I think it's kind of like a welcome to the show moment. I think it was funny. He was just shocked when even the reporters in the clubhouse, just the, you know, beat writers and stuff were coming up to him and asking about it. He's like, whoa, I'm not used to like this much attention here. I think he gained like 1,000 followers the next day on Instagram, which is insane. Right.
Oh, that's awesome.
But you know, he's a humble kid, and I'm hoping to maybe like have a sit down with him, just because the more I'm around him, the more I'm learning just how interesting he is, and just wanting to get to know him a little bit better. But I think Sox fans have a lot to look forward to with this guy.
So
also very talented as well.
Oh yeah.
Today the Sox play the Angels. Is that right? And then Jonathan Cannon's making his first appearance, I believe, his spring debut. I know you have sat down with him as well. He's a Georgia guy. You like your Georgia people. And he's impressive because he's mature. I just wonder, what are the expectations for him today, and how's he coming along?
No, I mean, nothing but positive things about him. Talk about another great guy here. Ethan Katz has just talked about wanting to add some more pitches in the mix just to help him grow. He had a 5-pitch mix right now. So just trying to develop, I think, things like his sinker and just accelerate that. But you know, this is a guy that, I mean, I think you're, especially it's still early on in spring training, so you're not wanting to push them, you know, too hard right now. They're just trying to figure some things out. But this is a guy that's, you know, everybody is so high on, and he's definitely a candidate when it comes to talking about guys starting on opening day. You have to definitely count him in the mix. So I'm excited to see what he can do versus this Angels lineup. I'm curious if T.A. is going to be starting today,
right,
you guys. I got to go
right.
Look at the clubhouse, right?
He homered against the Cubs yesterday. He's hot.
He always does that, though.
Oh,
he'll be in a good mood.
Well, I know White Sox fans would be excited to see him on opening day if he makes the team.
Speaking of if he makes the team, I'm curious if you've had a chance to sit down with Oscar Colas at all, and if the injury to Benintendi could be an opening for the Cuban Ohtani, as he was once known. Love to have Ohtani's in the lineup.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I haven't had a chance to sit down and talk with him, but, you know, I do know that he understands that this is it for him,
right,
and that this is a huge opportunity. And, you know, he was saying the other day that every time he gets in that bat, every time he's out on the field, he knows he has to capitalize here. And so we've seen glimpses here and there, but I mean, he is looking at this as like, no, this is it for me, and I got to make the most of every chance I get.
Brooke, you're doing a great job. I really think you are in your element, as I said. Just so people know what role you'll be playing during Sox broadcast on CHSN, people know your dad was Scott Fletcher. People know your brother-in-law is Gordon Beckham. But you have been around baseball your entire life. What are you looking forward to the most during these Sox broadcasts?
Yeah, it's been so much fun just to be around the facility, you guys, because, and I didn't realize, there's people that's been here for years, and they've been coming up to me, and they're like, last time I saw you and your siblings, you guys were like this big, and, you know, please tell your dad I said hi. And it's just been really, it's been really cool and kind of a full circle moment. But, you know, as far as this broadcast goes, I'm just excited to be able to share, you know, this story. I've kind of looked at myself, I thrive in like being kind of the underdog mentality, right? And, you know, covering the Tigers during the time where they were going through their rebuild, it's just so fun. I see some similarities in that. These young guys, they have so much to prove, and hopefully I can use just my experience and my family's background just to be able to shine a light on them and, you know, get White Sox fans excited about the future of this organization. And John and Steve have been so welcoming, and so I'm just really appreciative just to be able to be a part of this broadcast and get ready for this season.
Great stuff, Brooke. Really happy to get a chance to talk to you, and love your work. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brooke.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
That is Brooke Fletcher. She does a great job. That was the neatest thing to hear. Well, the neatest thing was the
Kyle Teal. Yeah, I know. You're still basking in that.
We should play that clip.
We'll play that clip. It's a great clip.
Incredible clip.
If we could find that clip.
I don't even know if
they
still
have
it.
It's very long in the library. I don't know. It takes up a lot of space.
It's a tough one. It might eat up too much time. But she did a great job of being of just the coincidence of her talking to Larry Schultz while that ball was hit in the double play came.
And it's always fun to watch people and see people do what they love to do in an environment where they feel very comfortable. And she's clearly at home at the ballpark.
Yeah, and Connor is doing
Connor
stuff.
McKnight.
I think it's going to be a fun broadcast.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be a fun
season.
Can
I add this? It has to be.
Yes.
It has to be.
That's true.
I don't mean that in a disparaging way, but
not at all.
The Sox are going to struggle. We know that.
Right.
So you've got to do whatever you can within your power to make the broadcast as watchable as possible.
All right. We're going to be right back on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is mind-blowing to me. This is flat-out mind-blowing to me for a number of different reasons. Look, if you just look at it from Matthew's time when he was in Detroit to what he's accomplished since he's been in Los Angeles, that's enough right there. You can just stop right there as far as I'm saying you don't mess with guys like this. Like, I can't imagine that he's sitting there going right now, hey, let's just see who's going to blink first. Let's just play a game of chicken with a guy who's going to walk right into the Hall of Fame when he's done.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is Lewis Riddick. He's talking on the NFL Today on ESPN, and he says that this makes no sense, the idea that the Rams would let Matthew Stafford walk. And apparently, we know what the story is, that Matthew Stafford has reached an agreement with Tom Brady. I don't know if that's still coming. No, he's reached an agreement with the Raiders through his friendship with Tom Brady.
It has something to do with it.
You would think.
You would think they were spotted together in Montana.
They met on the slopes. They are both skiers who live in the same resort town. They both have a house nearby.
They're both guys who can afford to live there.
And they, they can fly into Montana whenever they want. But they apparently... I guess the NFL said that it is not tampering. There was all this concern. Tom claimed that we just ran into each other. There was no tomfoolery. But the fact is that because the Rams had given him permission to seek a trade, that his meeting with Tom was not illegal and there would be no... possibility of some kind of discipline issued against the Raiders for recruiting said quarterback. So Tom's okay talking to Stafford.
Well, he's okay talking to Stafford. You don't know if that means he's leaving L.A. for Las Vegas. There is the report that they have come to a contract agreement, so they know what they would pay him if they can execute the deal. But now NFL Network is reporting that he's meeting one-on-one, man-to-man, quarterback to coach with Sean McVay. If Sean McVay is as smart as everybody knows he is, he's trying to talk Matthew Stafford into staying. I don't know a football reason you could give me that makes any sense and helps me understand how the Rams are better by getting rid of Matthew Stafford.
They're not better, and it just creates like another problem for them. I wonder, though, David... Didn't McVay, when he initially was traded from
Detroit?
From Detroit. Didn't McVay meet him
in Cabo?
In Cabo.
Yes.
They just happened to be swimming together in the same pool.
That wasn't tampering either.
You know, I'm just saying.
These guys have odd vacationing habits that tend to involve their next destination as players.
If you're Matthew Stafford, do you want to go skiing with the guy or do you want to have some water sports in Cabo?
Depends on who you're trying to impress. I mean, he's at the right spot. He does have a variety of vacation choices, though.
Yeah.
He's got a good range of trips that he's taken. I don't see Matthew Stafford at this stage of his career, 37 years old. It doesn't make any sense why he would want to leave L.A.
Why he would want to go to Vegas.
I don't understand
why. That team and all the problems.
Especially Vegas. Pete Carroll might turn that thing around in 2 or 3 years. Right. Matthew Stafford might help him in 2 or 3 years, but that's uncertain. What you want at that stage of your career, I think, would be certainty. And the Rams offer that. The Rams, they were one of the bigger surprises in the postseason. And they were
They were 15 yards away from winning against in the playoffs.
And how did they do that? Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, because you don't underestimate one of the best quarterback coach tandems in the NFL. Would you break that up?
You know, here's part of the problem for Tom is that Sean McVay will remember every word spoken in Cabo those many years ago.
Yes.
Because that photographic memory, he will just be reciting plays that Matthew loves most.
He has subsection A memorized.
He knows
the
everything.
Contract language is indelibly printed in his memory. Yes.
I'm a big fan of Pete Carroll, but Sean McVay is one of my all-time.
Yeah.
I have a strange fascination with that guy and his ability.
He's a stud.
He is a stud, and he can name every play that's ever been run.
That's why he's
by
a stud.
Him or for
that's why
him.
You can't get past that.
That memory, holy cow.
Definitely.
Recite back everything.
Respect the guy with that memory. I respect the way he calls plays. I think that's why he is who he is in the NFL. And Stafford, pay him. It's an absurd amount of money. It is a crazy how it's exploded. It is the NFL. The cap went up. But Matthew Stafford is not one of the 16 worst quarterbacks in the National Football League. He's not paid like he's a 16th best either.
No, he's paid. What is he making? Like 20?
27.
Okay, now that sounds like a ton of money, but there are.
It is a ton of
what
money.
What does Dak make? 60?
Yeah,
I'm just
too
saying,
much.
If you're being offered $100 million for 2 years by Vegas, surely you would have to come up with a huge raise for him. When you're talking to him, when he gets in front,
what do you have without him?
Of the head coach? Well,
what do you have without him? You've got a diva
Cooper
coming
Kupp.
To town. Well, Cooper Kupp's out of the market.
Wait a minute, too. Not him.
No,
you got Puka Nacua, and you got a good running back. That doesn't help you.
It doesn't help you. You know, Sean McVay is one of those quarterbacks and one of those coaches that can help a quarterback be better than he really is. But don't take that chance.
I like that idea. I like the idea that the two of them are going to meet face-to-face. I think it really could throw a wrench in the works for
Or maybe this is what they wanted all along. Tom. Have a team commit to you so it gives you leverage. So now you can say, it's time. They did tell him to go out and seek a trade. Or he had permission to work
trade
a trade.
What would look like? If you're going to bring a guy in and pay him $100 million, what are you giving up for the right to give him that kind of dough?
Second-round pick?
I think I need more than that. I want to get my beak wet. I need a first rounder is my point.
I don't know that at this...
He doesn't command one? You just said he's top five quarterback. It's just that he's only got a 2 year
You know how
deal.
People are with draft picks. You know how people are with high draft picks. And the Raiders draft pick would be very high. Would you give up their first round draft pick this year for Matthew Stafford?
I would try to force them to.
Maybe.
And you know what? If I'm them, looking at their offense, looking at the fact that you got Pete Carroll coming in.
If you're Pete Carroll and you're a 72-year-old head coach,
you definitely give
don't
up
care about draft picks.
That's right. You don't worry about what a guy looks like in 3 years.
The future
you want to know if he can win right now.
The future is the draft.
That's
the
right.
The future after that is OTAs. You know, your future is 1 week at a time when you're a 72-year-old head coach.
Wow.
That just has to be. Has to be.
I agree. He's got to win immediately, and that would be a huge way to win. It would be very, very good for Vegas. And I mean, in every way, too. You would draw people in, you would draw interest in Brandon.
Could his wide receiver follow him, Cooper Kupp, to Vegas?
Yeah, that's a good point. Sure. How much money does Vegas have? They got a lot of dough, right?
I think he probably.
The fourth most.
Could follow him. I don't know why either guy would leave L.A. I don't know why they would leave that.
Maybe their house
the nest of
down.
That offense. That offense is perfect for them.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Maybe they're worried about inhaling smoke.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow. That's,
but L.A.
That's
got burnt down.
Better.
I'm not even. I'm just trying to be honest about it. Maybe the you know your favorite restaurant's gone.
You are a football
Vegas
player.
Vegas has everything.
You are. Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford, one of the best tandems, right?
Then you got Bowers over there too.
Yeah, I think Puka is better than Cooper Kupp, and I think Puka is one of the best receivers in the NFL. If you could bring Puka with you, then maybe I'd make that.
Puka's not going anywhere.
No, he's not with Sean McVay running the show.
No.
Plus, when was Puka drafted? He probably doesn't make much money.
He couldn't even beat out Roma Dunze at Washington.
That's right. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. And you know what? Don't you remember Roma Dunze when he was asked about Puka and the numbers he put up as a rookie? You got the feeling that Rome felt, well, I'm better than Puka, so I'll put up better numbers.
I hope he goes out and proves it this year. I think when you heard Ben Johnson during one of his 27 interviews this week at the NFL Combine.
Are you like Marshall Harris
said
he was tired of him?
I think it's great he's talking. Okay. It's much better than the alternative. I agree. I thought that Marshall had an interesting take yesterday, and I know a lot of people might agree with that, that the Bears guys head coach is talking too much. I don't agree with it, but he defended it well. Anyway, Ben Johnson said that Roma Dunze may be moving around a lot of different positions. Slot guy.
Yeah, that's
guy.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good.
You be more versatile than just being locked into one spot because you know all the routes and all the route trees. It just moves. It's football. Move around your best players.
What about DJ Moore? You think he'll be moving around?
Probably.
Wouldn't he be pretty decent
in the
Deebo
Samuel type role? Yeah, he could some in the slot, some out of the backfield.
Yep.
Ben Johnson will find a way to maximize the value of all these guys. Look at the weapons on the Detroit Lions offense. All of their weapons had career type seasons.
Yes.
In that offense.
Well, that's what happens when you produce the number one offense in the league.
That happens.
That's how you become number one.
So, a couple other things before we get out of here, Mullen.
Yes.
This is just something that bugs me,
let's get it off your chest.
When we were looking at the Pro Football Talk website, I saw this: the Eagles are hiring Bowling Green head coach Scott Loeffler as their quarterbacks coach. Now, why does that matter? Why does that bug me? It bugs me because it's gotten to the point in college football now where if you are the head coach of a Mid-American Conference school or just a mid-major school or a smaller school. Boston College lost its head coach last year
to
the Green Bay Packers. It's more attractive to be an NFL assistant than a college football head coach because you're developing players for other programs.
Mm.
So has Bowling Green been reduced to a developmental program for Ohio State, Big Ten, SEC schools, the way Ball State has been reduced to a training ground for Purdue? And, it's cyclical, and I hate this cycle.
I got to be honest with you. That's the second time this show where you've been hit right in the Mac. And you've responded as a result of that. It's rough. I know what you're doing this weekend, though. You're going, you're taking the drive to the Horseshoe, aren't you?
Oh, you want me to go to the Horseshoe? I would love to go to the Horseshoe because I'd love to go to watch the Red Wings and the Blue Jackets play at the Horseshoe. And I want to sit in the booth next to Eddie O and Pat Foley.
Come on. Doesn't that sound like fun?
That would be awesome.
You got Kaner on the ice. This is your dream. You're up there broadcasting. You got Kaner. Maybe the cat skates by at some point, and you're doing the game.
That would be terrific. Sports USA Radio, they're reunited, Eddie O and
Pat Foley.
And they're calling
Bannerman with the save.
Kane!
You haven't heard
Patrick Kane.
I'm in a totally different era. I'm
I know. You're that era.
Began. How about a little 333 in the third?
Tree. Yeah, he's going to find a way to do that, I imagine. But Pat Foley was just in Vegas. Now he's going to be at the
He was in Vegas, Horseshoe, apparently, and talked to Mike Baum. We learned that.
That'd have been fun, too.
Mike gave a presentation.
Why did we go there? Why did we do
a
Blackhawks
road trip? We should have been broadcasting.
God.
With Mike Palm in person this morning.
Wow, wouldn't that have been something?
I think that was just Dustin registering a complaint.
That's what he does.
Ending the show the way he began it. No, wait, you didn't have that.
Morning, Chicago!
Welcome to your Friday!
You lousy sons of dogs!
Good morning.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Dustin, so earlier in the program, for people who missed it, Dustin told a hilarious story about getting snubbed by Dr. J. Because he wouldn't sign his autograph of a photo.
Dr. J was unwilling to sign a photograph of him and Larry Bird choking each other, which is, I think, understandable. But continue.
Is it understandable? It's a little sensitive, but yeah, I do think it's understandable. So I get this tweet from a listener named Scott Santorelli. Love the Dr. J autograph story from Dustin. I was there sitting in his row, two seats over, and he refused to sign my program, too.
So it wasn't just the photo, it was just Dustin?
Well, he offered to sign. He said, do you have something else for me to sign? And I said, no thanks, and I walked away.
Yeah,
that's what I don't get. I still don't get that.
Again, why would I want a Dr. J signature on the Grade 8, the Grade 8 tournament?
If you had any kind of premonition that maybe he wouldn't want to sign a photo of him choking someone, you should have whipped out an ABA ball.
Yeah, pull that out of my back pocket.
Because you carry that one around too. But it's just the premise of going to the trouble. You have binoculars and you spot Dr. J. And
the night before, by the way, just also the night before.
He's on the third level.
You scout this out from the third level, 300 level, and you go to the floor. That takes a lot of time and effort.
And that takes a lot of skirting of security.
Yes. Yes.
Did you skirt security?
I might have said, do you know who I am?
Oh, there you go.
The future producer of the Mully and Haw Show.
And then you get there, and you're ready, and then he says, no, I don't want to sign that, but I will give you an autograph. And you're like, no, thanks.
No. Keep your autograph.
Keep your autograph.
And then immediately Dr. J, filled with regret, said, let me sign the bird picture.
I'm more about the pictures than I am about the autographs. So I back in those early days, I collected what I thought were great sports moments, and then I looked to get those autographed. But I wasn't just looking for an autograph to have an autograph.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
That makes sense. It does make sense.
Like, I've got Concrete Charlie standing over Frank Gifford, right? I've got it signed by both people. Gifford didn't mind signing himself being knocked out, and Concrete Charlie standing over him with a fist.
All right, we've got to get to our colleagues.
We'll get to transition, but before we do, you can be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670, and win a pair of tickets to be part of our studio audience for Cubs-Dodgers in Tokyo, 5 a.m., March 18th. Stick around for a special broadcast of our show after the conclusion of the Cubs broadcast, all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.